We begin our reading at verse 19. Hebrews 10, beginning our reading at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to come into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy, under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illumined, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye were in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It's especially verse 25 that we're going to be looking at in connection with Lord's Day 38. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Look at Lord's Day 38 this morning. Page 22 in the back of your Psalters. There's only one question and answer on the fourth commandment. Question 103, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and to contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Hebrews 10, verse 25, forms a transition. It forms a transition between the perseverance of the saints that is called for in verses 23 and 24 of Hebrews 10, and that of apostasy, which is developed in verse 26. And following, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, that is related, isn't it, to the perseverance of the saints, to be fed and to be nourished on the Lord's day. But especially those words pertain to the apostasy that follows. For the apostle says there, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Wow. Listen to what he says there about neglecting or forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Despising God's word, trampling the blood of the covenant underfoot, despite unto the Spirit of grace. For he that forsakes the assembling together forsakes the worship of Christ. And so we hear in this Lord's Day the fourth commandment from Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is the basis of this commandment? We've been looking at the basis or the principle of each of the commandments, haven't we? The first commandment is based upon the principle, God is one. Don't have other gods. The second commandment is, God is spirit. So don't try to make an image of God after our own likeness. The third commandment is, God is holy. And so with reverence and awe, take his name upon our lips, not in vain, but to speak to him and about him. And now the fourth commandment, this is the principle, this is the basis. God's will and being. God's will and being. The basis of the fourth commandment is not, first of all, the need of man to rest. That is an excuse that is made by many who make the day a day of sport. I have to rest from my work and have recreation. God's will and God's being. How? Because God set this day aside when he created. And he made all things good, and we read in Genesis that God rested the seventh day. That is, God entered into and he delighted himself with his work, and he created that day now for us, the creatures, to enter into his work and to rest and delight themselves in their God. So it is important for us to notice that the Sabbath is of divine origin. It's not something that we thought up or we gave ourselves. Yes, the Lord gave the example. He himself rested from his work of creation, delighting in himself and the works of his hands. And therefore, we are to do that too. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Lay our heads next to his heart and in his bosom. Delight ourselves in him. But if one goes from Exodus chapter 20, one notices it's not only based upon creation, but as God gives his law at Sinai in Deuteronomy 5, it is also based upon his wonderful deliverance of his people. You see, there's a greater work than that of creation, and that's the work of redemption. And he says, as I have redeemed you from your slavery there in Egypt, therefore your manservant and your maidservant also shall be able to rest as well as you. The Sabbath is a gift. The Sabbath is a gift, and I'm going to come back to that. The command comes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That command comes to those who have made a profession of faith, the holy brethren. It is not a commandment that comes now to the wicked to be idle, to rest, to do nothing. It is a command that comes to God's people. May the Lord search us, try us, reveal to us ourselves. Do we delight ourselves in the Lord and in his work? What is our attitude toward the Sabbath day? For our attitude to that day reveals a lot about ourselves, about our hearts. May we not be just merely going through the motions because we feel obligated to do it. But we see the day as a gift in which we enjoy covenant fellowship with our God, covenant fellowship with his church, and we rest in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So under the theme, our Sabbath observance, notice with me the faithful warning that comes. Notice from our text the exhorting of one another. And then the end of that verse is the day approaching. The commandment comes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There has to be a warning to God's people when he comes on Mount Sinai. When the commandment is given, that is not the first Sabbath day that they're going to keep. Because the Lord, when he says, remember, says, go back. Go back. This, you know, is my commandment. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The Israelites knew that as they were wandering through the wilderness before that, when manna came down. 6 days they could partake of that manna, but they should not look for it on the seventh day. But in Egypt, yes, that law was forgotten, wasn't it? It was neglected. And we can understand why, because they were slaves there. And as slaves of Pharaoh, they couldn't come to Pharaoh and say, we want this day off. Pharaoh didn't care about their religion. You will work for me. So the Lord comes when he assembles them at Mount Sinai, and he comes with this word, this warning, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And now in Hebrews chapter 10, the Holy Spirit, the author who writes down these works, comes with another warning, doesn't he? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's the negative side of this verse, isn't it? Not forsaking the assemblies. The idea of forsaking there is really apostasy, isn't it? That is, making shipwreck of your faith, departing from the living God and the worship of the living God, returning and becoming overcome with the world around us. Oh, we see that, don't we? Pay attention to that apostasy. Leaving, forsaking, looking back at the world with longing, even as Lot's wife looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah because her heart was still in that wicked city. Apostasy is a looking back and then a drawing back, as we read in verse 38. Now the just will live by faith, but if any man draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it is looking back at the world and then drawing back from God because the requirements of God seem to be too exacting to us. It's a turning back. We don't want to obey God's word. The flesh says, I want to do my own thing. I want to enjoy myself. And the godly life seems to be too exacting, and the keeping of a day seems to be too exacting, too narrow to suit the lusting of our flesh. Yes, apostasy is a falling back which is fatal. And so we have really in Hebrews 10, verse 25, a very faithful warning against apostasy. You see, the Hebrew believers were cautioned there about forsaking the public worship. We read in verse 25, some had already done so. And they had done so because of the unbelieving Jews or the Judaizers who were saying, don't keep the first day of the week. You have to keep the old ceremonial laws. What does it mean? What does it mean in Hebrews 10, verse 25, forsaking the assembling of yourselves together? Forsaking the assembling of yourself together is only a part of the whole. That is, the assembling of ourselves together is put forward as the worship of God. Don't forsake the worship of God. That worship of God or of Christ was done there in those assemblies. And he who forsakes the assembling of ourselves together forsakes the worship of Christ. And yes, there were Hebrew Christians that were doing that because or when they were exposed to danger. What is warned here is the total relinquishment of Christianity. Forsake not, God's word says, don't abandon. So it's not merely a sin of sloth or laziness, or you just can't get out of bed in the morning, or a schism, but what is warned about here is apostasy. That word forsake in Hebrews 10 verse 25 is a very strong and emphatic word. It means to abandon. There's many different passages of God's word where that same word is used. Jesus from the cross says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, abandoned me? Or again, Jesus says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The word there is forsake or abandon my soul in hell. The Apostle Paul, when he writes about Demas, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That means he abandoned me. In Hebrews 13, later on, the same word is going to be used. He hath said, this is God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when we read in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, it means not abandoning that assembling of together, that is the worshiping of Jesus Christ. So notice here the thought in our passage. They are called to persevere in their faith. Verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He says, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Notice the Christian faith is not me, myself, and I all by myself worshiping. What do I get out of worship? It is the assembling of ourselves together, the body of Christ Jesus. And now he continues in verse 25. Not only holding fast our profession without wavering, not only considering one another to provoke unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, be regular in attendance in the stated meetings for instruction and worship. The exercises in which Christians are engaged. And they're listed, aren't they, in Lord's Day 38. The reading and the preaching of God's Word. Prayer, the sacraments, the giving of our gifts. All of these to work and to strengthen our faith. If that warning had to come to God's people on Mount Sinai, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If that faithful warning had to come to these Hebrew Christians, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, how much more today? Today, when so many look at the day, yes, in Reformed churches too, look at the day as a day for myself, a day of recreation, a day for the family. And increasingly, church services dwindling in number or even worship services canceled. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Why together? Perhaps someone says, well, I can listen. I can listen by sermon audio to ministers of my choice, better ministers. I can stay home. It's far more convenient with little children. Or, in fact, I can even sit in my easy chair and have my coffee and my donut while listening to worship service. It's more comfortable. Our text here, Hebrews 10, verse 25, says, the assembling of yourselves together. The only place where those words, assembling together, comes in the scripture is 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1. We read there, our gathering together unto him. The picture is the body fitting together underneath the head of Christ Jesus. What is the picture? The picture is we have one head, and the various members of the body don't just enjoy the head by themselves, but the various members of the body come together under the head. Enjoy the head together. Enjoy one another together. And so the assembling of ourselves together is, first of all, to represent and to enjoy that covenant rest as the people of God. Christ with his body. We do not stand by ourselves. We are not the lone ranger out there in a war against our foes in the world or our sinful nature. But Christ saves his church. And they are drawn, they are joined, they assemble together, gathered unto the head. The second purpose of our assembling together is the glory of God. Let me emphasize that a moment. Our assembling together each Sunday morning and every Sunday evening is not, first of all, that we can get fed. What do I get out of the worship service? But the primary motive of our worship is that God is glorified, that God is praised, that with earnestness, of eagerness, we listen as he reveals himself, as he reveals his names, as he reveals his works, and we say together, what a God we have. Oh yes, we do assemble also so that our faith will be strengthened, so that we will be instructed and prepared so that we can go forth Monday through Saturday to serve him in a way that's pleasing to him. And how is our faith strengthened? In catechism, there was a young person who said, well, can't we serve the Lord, glorify the Lord on the golf course on Sunday? I enjoy the sun and I enjoy golf and I can just see God's creation. How is faith strengthened? No, not on the golf course. But faith is strengthened by our knowledge being deepened, and with that deepening of our knowledge, a sure confidence of all that God has said. That these gifts belong not only to others, but also to me by God's grace. And that faith comes, it is worked, and it is strengthened by the preaching of the word. So what is the purpose of our assembling together? If someone comes and he asks the question, how many times do I have to go to church on Sunday? Then he's already asking the wrong question. How many times must I? How many times do I have to come? Sunday wasn't given to us to be a drudgery. Oh, I have to. It's a gift. A gift that God gives his people so that we come before him and we delight ourselves in him. We come before him and we enjoy covenant fellowship with God. Our assembling ourselves together then on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, in order to be instructed in his word, to be admonished, to be comforted, to be assured, to be trained. Yes, it's by that assembling ourselves together that there is visible proof that Christ's name is held up here in the world. Christ with his bride. It's interesting, though, that the author of Hebrews says, do not neglect our assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some is. He doesn't say here only on Sundays, does he? The church assembles together not only for church worship on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, but she assembles together when the children come for catechism classes. She assembles together when the church comes for Bible studies. She comes together for fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. And so it comes on house visitation that we encourage Bible studies, whether it be the Sunday night discussion groups, or the men's society, or the ladies' society, or the young adult society, or the young people society. And perhaps you think, must I? Wrong question. Privilege. God gives this assembling of together, the body coming together to enjoy its head, Christ Jesus. But now especially the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. One day out of week. 6 days we have to labor. And yes, one could pause on that fourth commandment and preach a separate sermon on that too. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. It doesn't say there try to get as few work hours as possible. That sounds like the world. We should be enjoying work, doing it as unto the Lord. 6 days shalt thou labor. But now, seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. God's will, its divine origin, to glorify God, to enjoy his rest. And there's, of course, all the different phases of that rest through the Old Testament, and now finally in the New Testament in Hebrews 4 brings it out, doesn't it? The rest that we have in Jesus Christ, and the rest that we shall have, the eternal rest, when Jesus comes again and there is absolutely no more sin, no more battle. But we will be without spot and wrinkle with Christ forever in heaven. Oh, to rest in our God. So the Sabbath day. It's not a matter of our convenience. Where do I like to be? What do I feel like doing on the Sabbath day? Oh, what a danger. That the good gift of sermon audio or telephone worship services can be. It's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing for our aged that cannot be. It's a blessing for those who are sick, taking care of little ones at home. They can listen in. But may we not use it for our convenience. I'd rather sit in my lazy boy chair by myself and listen to the sermon than go to church. That's not worship. Worship is God's people assembling together under our head, Christ Jesus. And so the apostle says, don't forsake. What a faithful warning. How we need that warning, don't we? Because of our sinful flesh. Israel needed it after it came out of Egypt. These Hebrew Christians needed it in order to persevere in their faith, to hold fast their profession, not forsaking the assembling themselves together, as some did. You and I need that faithful warning. God gives that warning in order to excite us, to provoke us to faithfully worshiping him. So in our text, Hebrews 10, verse 26, we read, but exhorting one another Let's look at that phrase a moment. Let us provoke, verse 24, one another to love and good works. Provoke means to excite one another. Let's do good to one another. Let's come together and confirm and strengthen our faith together. Exhorting. That's quite something, isn't it? To say to a person, hey, I missed you Sunday. Because most of us don't like to be reminded of our sins. Most of us like to be petted, like to be flattered. And if we call each other on the carpet, that is, if we remind one another of our duty, then quite often we get angry, don't we? It's often a thankless task when the elders have to come and say, you need to be in church. People get angry. God comes with his warning, but then he also comes with a duty to us. Come. Come and exhort one another about this matter. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Exhort one another. Talk to one another. How important our worship is together. Body with various members, enjoying the head, entering into that rest provided in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the positive side of our verse. And the Catechism then talks about that Sabbath observance. What is it? It's really interesting that the Catechism doesn't come with a long list of thou shalt not do this on Sunday, thou shalt not do this on Sunday, thou shalt not do this on Sunday. There are those that look at the answer of the Catechism, they say, well, it's really a weakness. They say it's an overreaction to the Roman Catholic Church with its legalism, and so our Reformed authors, they stayed away from that. I don't think so at all. Rather, our Reformed authors are pointing out what the Sabbath day is all about. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, but rather it is a day in which we enter into the rest of our God. How do we do that? And the answer comes by the ministry of the gospel. So that the ministry of the gospel and our schools. What are those schools? The schools are our theological school, right? Our seminary. No, we don't have an independent seminary, but we have a denominational seminary. Men who are trained by our church so that they know and they confess and are known by the church to bring the truth of the scriptures. Why is it so important for the Sabbath day? Go to Romans chapter 10. How will one believe on Jesus Christ if they do not know him? How will they know him if they've never heard him? And how will they hear Christ Jesus himself except through the preacher? Oh, what is the importance of the Sabbath day? That the schools be maintained, our theological school, so that we have ministers of the gospel to bring the word of God to us. The word about our sin, the word about our salvation, the word about our call to live for him. That our schools be maintained, that our children may be catechized each week. Or during the summer that there's a Sunday school, that they are taught the Bible lessons. Our Christian schools, so that every area of life is brought into subjection to the Word of God. And that I, and that I frequently, diligently frequent the house of God. What is important? That we come and hear God's word from week to week. That through that word we enjoy fellowship with our God and a rest in the work of Jesus Christ. One might spend a little bit of time here to talk about Sabbath day. It doesn't say just a couple hours. It doesn't say only morning. It doesn't say only evening. The whole Sabbath day. That we may set aside other things that crowd every other day of our week. And we may dwell on what the Lord has done. We may dwell upon feasting on His word, of teaching our children, of visiting one another in our homes, that God may be glorified. That we, by our worship, may testify that we're strangers in this world. We don't follow the course of the world and do whatever we want. But that we are called to be a holy and unblameable people of God. You see, the keeping of the Sabbath is a very spiritual matter, isn't it? It's an act of faith and hope. Faith and hope. Frequently coming to the church. Why? To glorify God. To receive instruction. For we are called to be a holy and unblameable before God in love. Renewed by the image of God. Have fellowship with our God. To hear the word. To use the sacraments. To physically call upon His name. To contribute to the relief of the poor. Now again, someone can say, well, I can do most of those things at home. I can glorify God, and I can hear His word, and I can sing His praises, and I can pray too. But it's more, isn't it? We worship if we're able. We worship with God's people in His house. Not only having fellowship with our God, having fellowship with His body. We worship together, assemble together, to be underneath the supervision of the elders whom Christ has put over us. We worship together on Sunday so that we, with God's people, together we put our hands forward to give to the kingdom causes. And no, you can't do that when you're sitting in your living room by yourself playing church. You see, worship is not a matter of convenience. What do I want? What do I feel like doing? What's easier? Worship is bringing glory to God. We exhort one another to do that. In a day when many are not doing that any longer, we exhort one another. Come. Come to church. Day of all the week, the best. And then there is a motive given here at the end of verse 25, isn't it? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day? It's the day, as we read in the rest of that passage, the day of judgment. These Hebrew Christians were being exhorted by the author, by the Holy Spirit here. Don't abandon the assembling of yourselves together as some are doing, because the day is coming, the day of judgment. The day of judgment against the unbelieving Jews, which took place in AD 70. And that judgment of God, God talks about a God of vengeance, is the same God who is coming at the end of the world, and the destruction of Jerusalem is only a type of the judgment day that is coming. What a warning to us, what a motive. Do not abandon the worshiping of yourselves together, the assembling of yourselves together, as you see that day approaching. when those who have abandoned the assembling of yourselves together, that is, have abandoned the worship of Christ Jesus, will feel his sharp, wrathful words, "Depart from me." Take heed. Take heed that we are not deceived, that you do not draw back. Hebrews 10, verse 38. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, we read in Matthew 24. Hebrews 4, though, speaks about another day, doesn't it? When Jesus comes again, there will be a day of wrath of those who have abandoned the worship of God or abandoned the worship of Christ Jesus in their generations. But the day when Jesus comes again will also be a wonderful day. And that's what the Catechism is picking up. Yes, frequently worship and then live out your Christian life as you see the day of Christ coming, when there will be no more sin, no more imperfection, but we will be with Christ Jesus perfectly. That's the eternal Sabbath. Now we have to fight our sinful nature. Now we need that word to fight our sinful nature. But the day of eternal rest is coming. We taste it already. We have it in principle, but then it will be finally ours. And what does the Catechism say there? All the days now of my life, I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Yes, ahead is the eternal Sabbath, eternal rest. No more sin, no more sickness, no more pain. But we begin that eternal Sabbath already, don't we? And the beginning here in principle is, as a Christian, I cease from my evil works. Why must we hear the word of God? Why must our schools be maintained? Why must there be the preaching of the word? So that I recognize who I am. A sinner saved by grace. A sinner who has been bought by Jesus Christ, cleansed by the Holy Spirit, now to live not to myself, not to the world, but to live to Christ Jesus. Oh, that we may cease from our evil works. How do we do that? Well, we're prepared for that, aren't we? We assemble ourselves together Sunday morning, Sunday evening, in order that we may hear from his word. What is sin? We're going to hear about that tonight. How do I fight that sin? That I may cease more and more from my evil works. And we need to hear from the gospel how we yield ourselves more and more to the Lord. Yield ourselves on Sunday to the Holy Spirit speaking through the preaching of the word, and that word carried in our hearts, meditating on that word as families and individuals, the Holy Spirit working in us each day of the week. We congregate with God's people in his house diligently. We meditate upon his word. We take hold of his promises so that our whole conversation, our whole walk may be one from above. We have a virtuous, an eager, a vital faith and hope. Christ is coming again. So we need to ask some questions on this preparatory Sunday. Ask some questions. How is the holy day of rest kept in my house? Is it not God's day? And is it noticeably God's day? You evaluate for yourselves. How do I keep the Lord's day from morning till evening? Ask. You ask yourself, I have to ask myself, what value do I place on the church services and on the preaching? Am I diligently frequenting the house of God? Do I go to church to hear the word of God or to criticize it? How do I listen to that word when it's preached? How do I contribute to the relief of the poor? Giving just that dollar, or giving as the Lord has blessed me? How is it with my visiting of the sick or the aged? How is it with my provoking of one another to good works? How is it with me? Am I yielding myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me? Am I beginning in this life the eternal Sabbath? Yes, let's ask those questions of ourselves and let's answer them before God and pray. Pray for grace to pardon and to cleanse and give relief. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this precious gift given to us, a Sabbath day. Cause us, O Lord, to delight in that day. Delight in assembling together under our head, Christ Jesus. Bless this day. Bless the word which is preached. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalter to number 292. Redeeming love, sons of men, awake to praise God the Lord who reigns above. Gracious in His works and ways, wondrous in redeeming love. Let's sing stanzas 1 and 5.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.